Hello, everyone. Welcome back again to another episode of Basement Banter. This week, joined by Nick Vallant, who has not been on the podcast in a long time. Welcome to the show.
It has been a while. It feels great to be back, though.
Well, actually, after that left my mouth, I just realized that I hadn't.
You didn't record
equally,
it.
I haven't been recording it. Well, I haven't been recording in general. I'm recording right now.
Yeah.
Which one did you mean?
I meant, like, just now. In, like, were you recording? Like, was
like
your mic
pressing? I haven't. Well, no.
Yeah, you've been on a bit of a podcast hiatus recently. It's good to be back, though.
It is good to be back. This week, in honor of NBA season starting, we're going to be, you know, talking about the teams. Plenty to talk about in the NBA. I'll be the first to admit, usually I'm not someone that's foaming at the mouth to talk about NBA basketball. I think me and Nick both agree that college basketball probably is a better watch. But the NBA, there has been a lot of stuff going on in the offseason. And I have to say, I feel like before we get into the divisions or conferences, I have to say that I feel like the NBA has gotten off of that big three format that it was on for a couple years, from like when we were in like eighth grade to like maybe like 2 years ago. It was all about getting like two or three big superstars, and then the rest was just veterans and everything like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to then, not to keep monologuing, leaving you out of it, but I feel like there's been more commitment to, building something that will last longer versus, you know, something that can't last for more than X amount of years.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look at just a prime example. Look at the Warriors. I mean, they drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They drafted Draymond. They drafted everybody and then made moves from there. Building from the draft, even the Celtics, another team. You drafted Jaylen Brown. You draft Tatum, number two, after committing highway robbery with the Sixers, who ended up taking none other than Markel Fultz. Huge, not a huge bust, but, you know, we know how that story goes. But teams now are definitely taking a lot more stock, especially in the draft. The top 10, a lot of the times the top 10 picks are so talented that there's not much fall off. I mean, this past year you look at the top three, there's probably a little bit of a fall off after the top three, but the draft is the best way to go about it. It's the best way, you know, for money reasons and to build up a culture and a team for each NBA team. So, I mean, you look at a team, I guess we'll probably kick it off with the Lakers, you know. How could we not after their disappointing season last year? You look at them, and, I mean, they really don't have any picks in the next couple of years, and they're okay with that. They want to just sign people for the immediate because, obviously, LeBron, you know, he's getting old, and that team, other than a bubble championship, really hasn't done a whole heck of a lot other than that.
So now this is kind of what I was just talking about. With commitment to youth and commitment to a future, commitment to everything, and how that seems the better model than winning right now. Los Angeles in both sports and football as well, commitment to the right now is where they've been.
Yeah,
because the Rams are gonna completely implode in a couple of years, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Whatever. That's a different conversation for another day. But that's the same thing with the Lakers. But the Lakers, I feel like, almost went about it in a wrong way, because now you have LeBron, who's kind of defying the odds of just how great he is at his age. But you can't take away from the fact that he is extremely old in terms of the NBA and how young the NBA is, how prolific and young a lot of the stars are in the NBA now. And on top of that, him decide, like, the load management thing, I could get it to a certain extent, but when you're someone like LeBron who wants to bring this team to Los Angeles, bring everyone who you want, or at least some of the people that you want, and it's someone like Anthony Davis who has a long history of injuries.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to get in there a bit more. I really don't like the load management.
You do. And to kind of bounce off the load management point, it doesn't have to do with load management, but it goes for team chemistry. I mean, you look at the Nets last year, and yeah, they had no team chemistry. I mean, yeah, there was no load management. Obviously, everybody knows how that whole situation kind of played out, but I mean, you think about it. Had Kyrie been on the floor all those games up until he finally was able to play in all games not in Brooklyn, You know, where is that team's, where are they together? James Harden very well may still be a net had Kyrie been playing. Like, it goes to show you can have all that kind of talent and bring people in, but if you're not out on the floor together playing, you know, it doesn't mean much. Just to kind of bounce off your point about camaraderie and playing together and actually being out there, I mean, you look at another team, not to bounce again, but the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, guy hasn't played a back-to-back since he was 22 years old. Like, what are we doing here?
After he, like, had, like, a almost like a, you know, a New York Mafia-style deal he cut with the Clippers where it doesn't, you don't even know all the perks that he officially got from them.
You know he had his little laugh going after, too, after he signed all that just to go out there and play 50 games out of the 82 every year. I mean, but back to the Lakers, I mean, they fired Frank Vogel, probably the right choice to do. They brought in Darwin Ham. I personally don't know much about him, but from what I've read, everybody likes him. He seems to be kind of the guy for it. The biggest key, there's two big questions for that team. One, is Anthony Davis going to stay healthy? Because if he stays healthy, I mean, people forget that he's a top 10 player in the NBA if he's healthy. And two, is Russell Westbrook. Sorry to refer to him as Westbrook, but I mean, after his, I know he got a whole new shooting form, the whole nine, I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but after the first, you know, 12, 13 years of his career, he really hasn't shown much more than being a brick.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about, and that was something that is really struck me as something that the Lakers seem to be doing there, where it isn't as much as a strategic, you know, put all the stars in one place, where as much as it's get as many big names as you can to Los Angeles as possible. On paper, if you're going to tell me, Hey, Ryan, you want to go watch Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, LeBron James?
Sounds great.
On the court at the same time. Hell yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
Who else did they have in there? They had...
they had Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Like, Malik Monk, who was, you know, he was off the bench, whatever.
Isn't Andre Drummond in there somewhere? Or no?
For a little bit, I believe he was there a little bit. Not long, but I mean, that's the thing is they go for all these old guys who are kind of washed up past their prime.
JaVale McGee. You're talking about a team that's going for an NBA championship and throwing the kitchen sink, you know JaVale's going for his little slice of the pie.
Yeah, JaVale will be on any team that is going to be in the finals, at least the Western or Eastern Conference Finals. He'll find his way onto a contender. But yeah, I mean, going back to Lakers, there's a lot to unpack with them. LeBron's probably going to break Kareem's record for most points ever. I think he's like 1,200 away. He probably, my guess would be halfway to three quarters of the way of the season, assuming no injuries. He'll probably pass it. Another huge storyline going into the season. That record stood for, 35 plus years at least?
Yeah, but the one thing that I was going to get at, though, with the Lakers is that, as we keep talking about, you had a team where you had D'Angelo Russell, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle. You had all these guys on a team, and then, you know, now you gave all these young, talented players up where, you know, they're not LeBron James or Anthony Davis.
I mean, they got AD in the deal, but...
And then Jordan Clarkson was there, Larry Nance. You had Larry Nance Jr., not Larry Nance, but like...
good specification on
you
that.
You have all these big players that... You might not have had to pay them right away.
Yeah.
And you could have gotten more assets if you let them, you know, over time. Lonzo Ball.
Number two overall pick.
You have all these good young players where they're good role players on other teams now. And some of them are, you know, Brandon Ingram is
a star.
Is a star.
He's an all-star. Like,
and he's, you know, what, like 15 years younger, 20 years younger than LeBron James?
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying he's better than LeBron James by any stretch of the imagination.
100%.
But I'm saying you have all of these guys there already that are extremely talented. Then you throw in some other veteran players that would just help be nice accents to it.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about it. The thing was, though, with that deal, it probably was not going to get done unless Brandon Ingram was included in that trade. And, I mean, for those of you who watched anything to do with college basketball, like, you knew... You didn't know who would be better between him and Simmons because Simmons went one and, like, you know, he was a freak. But Brandon Ingram was always a good shooter there, and there was never any doubt. Like, there's a reason he was compared to a young KD. Like, similar bodies, very similar playing styles. I just don't – the deal probably wouldn't have gone through, although he would have been – I mean, imagine him and LeBron paired together right now. He would have gotten a max by now, obviously, but they would definitely, I think, be in a better spot. And he's not injury-prone like AD.
Yeah. But once again, and you're how many million, hundreds of millions of dollars less are you spending on him?
Yeah.
At that point in his career.
Absolutely.
And you have, I just disagree with it wholeheartedly because you have a young, talented group. You might not be winning the championship.
Carson was
right
a sixth
now.
Man of the year off the bench with the Jazz.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he could be a starting shooting guard on probably 75% of all NBA teams. Like, he could be.
I don't know. Now they're 18th. Their power rankings are 18th. They had the one year where they won the most wacky championship ever in the bubble in Disney World or whatever the hell it was, at the ESPN universe.
Yep.
Where just
Mickey Mouse is running around.
I was going to say some unnecessary violence where Rachel
Nichols
was
running
around.
That's right where you were going with it.
Like Mickey Mouse visiting everyone, making sure they're all right.
She paid Jimmy Butler a special visit.
That's what I mean. So, you know, was it worth it? You're 18th in the power rankings now, 2 years later.
LeBron's only getting older.
Anthony Davis is only getting more injury prone. Russell Westbrook's only chucking up more bricks. The guy's like a mason, the amount of bricks he's churning out, this guy.
So I don't mean to cut you off, but it's kind of incredible we went on this long of a tear about the Lakers and haven't even spoken a lick about the NBA champs.
Well, I'm just miffed about it. No, and the NBA champs are in a bit. I mean,
they're up.
They are up in smoke. But I will say that is how in any sport, that's how I like how teams do it. They get someone young they really like, and they build around them.
Yeah,
and you know, you go and you draft Steph Curry. He wasn't, you know, a Duke player. He wasn't a Kentucky player. He wasn't a John Wall.
Duke wouldn't even let him walk on.
He wasn't a blue blood player that everyone wanted going into that senior or whatever season it was for him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now he's the veteran there after X amount of years building around him.
Yeah.
How many rings has he won now? Three, four?
Yeah, four.
Then you have all of these young players and, you know, granted, there is a little bit of uncertainty with Draymond Green. After that video released, I mean, that's just a scumbag move. That wasn't like pushing each other and it just like accidentally punched him in the face.
He went after him.
He got in Jordan Poole's face. He said, "Get off of me." And then he cocked back and punched him in the face and goes, "Scumbag."
So Draymond obviously mishandled that whole situation. My understanding of the whole story is, you know, Jordan Poole, you know, he got paid after his well-deserved postseason and season that he had with the Warriors. Fine, done. Well-deserved. I guess from what I had read is he had been, you know, just been bragging about his money, and Draymond wants a max, and they haven't given it to him yet. So Draymond definitely, you know, I'm sure he took it personally, went after him, was wrong. He apologized, you know, good for him. That's what he should do. He knows his place. He knows he's a leader on that team. But I'm going to think probably the money aspect has a lot to do with it, considering they paid Jordan Poole. And, you know, he's not going to get what Draymond wants, but Draymond wants a max. And at this point in his career, I mean, Draymond's only gotten worse as a shooter. He's still a good defender, you know, good team player, you know, leader, the whole nine. But he can't shoot for fucking shit.
The thing is that I think that he's a – like system quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He is a system player where if you took Draymond Green and moved him to a different team, he would be, I don't think caught, but he wouldn't be getting
as many minutes.
But it's 100%. Because Steve Kerr loves what he brings to this very specific dynamic and how this offense is.
Exactly.
Where it's
spot on.
It's completely winged out and everything, where you have someone that's quick and mobile in the middle that could dish out these balls. If you try to bring him to a Lakers or try to put him on a Celtics team, he wouldn't be as good because they don't need him.
It's the style that the Warriors play that fits him so well. If you watch the Warriors, it's some of the best basketball you'll probably ever watch. And people hate on Steph Curry for whatever ungodly reason they have. But the Warriors, I mean, they play basketball the right way. The way they share it, the way they shoot it, like, they do everything right, and Draymond is such a big asset to that because he does all those things. He knows he doesn't need to go score 15 points, 20 points a game. He can go out there, get six, and, you know, obviously he should probably be hitting at least double digits would be, you know. But you know you're always going to get six or seven rebounds. You're going to get four or five assists from him, and he's just a vocal veteran, like, locker room leader. But, I mean, you're like you said, most other teams, he's probably not seen more than 10, 12 minutes off the bench.
And you also have Andrew Wiggins, who's 27 years old.
Who's going to get paid after this postseason.
And he deserves to be paid.
Yeah, he's locked Tatum up.
He's someone that going into his NBA career, people were
Next LeBron.
He was a LeBron James caliber level player.
Number one pick player in his class, number one pick in the draft. Like, he had sky-high expectations, and I don't know if it was the Timberwolves didn't give that enough time to play out, or if probably like most people can fit in that Warrior system. Because if you're not going to fit in it, they're not going to have you.
Well, I also think that he's just a very good player. I don't think that he's – I don't think he's the level of a LeBron James. I don't think he's the level – well, I mean, obviously he's not, but I'm saying – I don't think he ever was the level of it, but I think that he is a very good player that could fit into a team. He's like a meat and potatoes player, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
He's not going to be the one that's going to bring people into the stadium, but he's a very good player that
is going to hold his own, and, you know, every once in a while he's going to get you a 25-point game.
And is going to make the difference in a game. And once again, not to keep kicking the Lakers while they're down, but they don't have that. They don't have the people, you know, in game three of a series where you need someone out of nowhere to put up X amount of points. He'll do it.
You look around the NBA right now, there's two things you need: shooting and long athletic wings. You look at any team who did well this year and who has done well recently, those are the things they have. Celtics, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Warriors, I mean, they have Steph. Klay will bounce back after last year. Klay, now with a full offseason, I think Klay is going to be back to, you know, flamethrower Klay. You know, he came back middle of the season, you know, now he had a full offseason under his belt, full rehab, full everything. He's going to be a flamethrower for them.
You have the Bucks, who may not have the perimeter shooting, but they have two players that could bring the ball up for you and attack.
Who's stopping Giannis? There's not one person in the NBA who's going to stop him one-on-one. It's not going to happen. Chris Middleton, a great number two option. I mean, not to jump ahead of things, but I mean, I like the Bucks coming out of the East.
But once again, things that I think Giannis currently stacks up against LeBron currently in physical. Then I think Chris Middleton and
LeBron around a little bit.
Yeah,
right,
Chris
now.
Middleton and Anthony Davis are probably, but the health of Anthony Davis, how his current state has been.
That's the key is for him that team.
But then, so then you have those. But then, okay, so like then, like maybe you call that a 50-50 dice roll in a 2-on-2 pickup game.
Yeah.
But then you start throwing in Bobby Portis, and then you have all these other. You have depth players where Bobby Portis is not going to get me to go to a game.
No.
If Bobby Portis was the best player on the Knicks, I would not go to the Knicks.
What a time when he was on them. What a time.
But like, I would not go to drive to Madison Square Garden to watch Bobby Portis.
No, never.
But I will go, and I would go nuts if Bobby Portis put up 15 points complimenting Giannis Antetokounmpo.
100%.
Like, that's the difference between these, like all these teams. Warriors are in a great spot. They did it right, the right way.
And they're going to continue to be good. Think about it. They drafted James Wiseman, who was out. He was the number two pick, who was out all of last year. Then they drafted Kuminga, who was the number seven overall pick, who reclassed and was number one in his class. Went to the G League Ignite, then got drafted by the Warriors because they played like terrible. They played terribly with Klay and Wiseman when Wiseman's rookie year. So now they have two top seven picks in the last 2 years. Steph, who, I mean, you can't take away
shooting. He's an all-time great.
Steph is a top five player of all time, I think.
Klay Thompson's one of the best shooters of all time.
Draymond knows his role. Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Moses Moody, who's another second-round pick from Arkansas, going to be really good. Like, they're just loaded.
Draymond Green would totally punch you in the face for saying that.
I know. I love Draymond, but he's just not a good shooter.
Draymond Green knows his role. It's true. Call a spade a spade.
On to finer pastures, though.
Finer pastures.
Let's jump into the Pelicans.
All right, Nick's been waiting this whole time since he's walked in. He's been talking about the Pelicans.
Tell us
about the Pelicans.
I mean, so the Pelicans now, starting lineup's probably going to be C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion's back. And I don't know if you've seen Zion, he's never looked better. They did a scrimmage, and their coach said not one player had a single answer for him. He was just dunking everything, and apparently he said he's doing things he never thought he could do, which for anybody who's seen him on a basketball court, that's quite incredible.
Walk the proper way.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe stay under his weight limit and body fat percentage, but that's another topic. Well, I guess it's actually a big topic because he was out all last year.
He's almost 300 pounds.
Yeah. Now in his contract, his total weight plus his body fat percentage has to be below 290 or 295, whatever it is. If he can stay at 260, that team, he'll be the best player in the NBA in 2 years. And he averaged 27-7 and started an All-Star game 2 years ago. Like, that's unheard of as a second-year player. And the key is his weight. But that team is young, athletic. They can shoot. Valanciunas down in the paint. Like, they're going to be a problem in the West. I'm not saying they're going to be a top four seed by any means, but top six or seven?
Scrappy eighth seed or whatever, like Grizzlies or something?
I think I could see them getting as high as seven, you know, or as high as six with all the questions. You know, Denver, you're getting Jamal Murray back and Michael Porter back, Michael Porter Jr. back, both off huge injuries. The Jazz are going to be terrible now with no Rudy Gobert, no Donovan Mitchell. The Spurs are a joke. The Rockets stink. Who else am I missing? The Kings are maybe the biggest joke of an organization in all of sports. Chet Holmgren's out for the year for the Thunder. Like, I mean,
well, the guy's built like a stick figure.
The Suns, who knows, DeAndre Ayton hates his life in Phoenix and doesn't want to be there anymore. I mean, look out for the Pelicans, dude. I think they really could get to a top six seed in the West.
How does he hate his life? Didn't they just pay him like $250 million or something obnoxious?
They wouldn't pay him, though.
I think they paid him to not go to the Pacers, I could have sworn.
They might have just matched because of they had the. It was probably like a restricted.
I mean, I'd be miserable in Arizona because of how
hot it is, yeah.
But then, yeah, once again, back to the Pelicans. You have my thing in this situation is, so Brandon Ingram obviously is going to be a staple player. He's a stud. Zion Williamson is the difference between them being a ninth or tenth team in the West
and a five or a six.
Or a five or a six, because then you mix in all of these other players that they have. You have Larry Nance, CJ McCollum, Willie Hernangómez, who, once again,
good player.
None of these players are players that are going to get ass in seats,
no.
But they will win you basketball
Jose
games.
Alvarado, he is going to lock you up at point guard. He wants to get in people's face and guard their best player. He's a young, small player. Well, he's not young. He did 4 years at Georgia Tech.
But he's like a young, whatchamacallit?
He's a young little
Patrick Beverly.
100%. He's a little pit bull like him, where he just wants to get up and under you and make you as uncomfortable as you can get. Herb Jones, another great, what's he, a second year now out of Alabama? Another great role player. The Pelicans are going to be a force. If they can avoid injuries, I mean, like I said, top six seed is not out of the question by any means.
And then let's quickly bounce back to the Phoenix Suns. We'll keep touching on it while the iron's hot here.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton, you still think is unhappy, or?
I mean, I'm sure him and Monty Williams, the head coach, have talked it out, but I know for a while there was, like, you know, some serious unsureness about it after not getting paid and all that, because he wanted big money and the Pacers were going to give it to him, but the only reason Phoenix did is because they weren't going to let him just walk away and not get anything out of it. It made sense for them to sign him, so in case they ever want to trade him, they're at least going to get something back out of it.
And then you have a front court, or not back court, where you have
CP3
and Devin Booker. So like, does it cut it if you lose DeAndre Ayton in that? I think that whole thing starts to fold up a bit.
I agree. I mean, CP3 is only getting older. I mean, obviously he's the point god, and CP3 is going to go down as probably a top 3 to 5 point guard of all time. But I mean, Devin Booker just got paid. Devin Booker needs to have a monster year, and you know he's obviously very capable of doing so. But he got paid. He needs to show up. They have kind of underachieved how they've played the last 2 years at this point.
I mean, they made it to the finals, what, like 2 years ago now?
Did they even make it to the finals?
Yeah, they lost to the
Bucks. That's right.
He's making 33 a year. Aiden's making 30 a year. But then, you know, Mikal Bridges is good. Jay Crowder is good.
Jay Crowder wants a trade, though. Jay Crowder, I saw, maybe ended up in Atlanta with the Hawks. He wants out for whatever reason.
I mean, they have
good. Sorry to burst your bubble right there.
I mean, that's fine. Whatever. But the point is that if you start
Cam Johnson's another good young piece for them.
I think DeAndre, they're all good. They have good pieces. Is DeAndre, if you don't have a solid big man, I feel like I'd be concerned. A lot of the teams that we just talked about have good big men.
Think about it. The Warriors didn't have their number two overall 7-foot center who went number two overall.
Yeah, they had a great role player, Draymond.
Yeah. Good thing Draymond knew his role.
Yeah.
But, I mean, think about how good they're going to be when he's back. He's dominating preseason right now. I mean, the West is going to be interesting this year, and we haven't even touched on the Mavericks yet with Luka.
Yeah. I mean, they're
Luka is a showstopper, top five player, probably in the NBA right now.
What about my man Kristaps? Is he just shot?
Kristaps right now is playing with the Wizards down in Washington D.C. You tell me how you think that's going.
What a storyline that was, though. One of the two highest drafted Europeans, and you then just.
And then he went to the Mavericks and then to the Wizards. And what a joke, man. The Knicks love their international players. And, like, you know, international players aren't bad. But, I mean, to hit on one like they thought they were going to hit on with Porzingis, I mean, what a failure that was. I don't even know. But just a disaster, more or less.
Oh, and speaking of, guess who signed with the Mavericks?
Oh, God, who?
JaVale McGee.
He's probably going to be starting for them.
That's a good sign. That's like finding a penny heads up. Like, that's like a good omen. When your team has JaVale McGee,
you're going far in the playoffs.
That means you're sniffing around for a championship, because that guy's always looking for the ring.
Kudos to him. He always seems to find it.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, you know, that's like seeing the geese fly south. Something is brewing if all of a sudden you have JaVale McGee on your roster.
Yeah. Because
he's hunting for a ring.
I feel like we've talked about all the relevant teams in the West and anybody who has like a real chance. I mean, the Grizzlies also. Hold on real quick.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
I forgot about the Grizzlies. Had Ja Morant not get hurt, those Warriors may not be wearing, they might not be getting their fourth ring together. Ja Morant, I mean, him going down and getting hurt very well may have cost. It did cost them that series. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most prolific players in the NBA, and he's probably, if you're talking about an MVP person.
Yeah,
I'm an MVP person. Sounds like that.
He could be.
MVP,
he's young still.
Player based off of what the definition of an MVP is. I think Giannis still is above him.
Yeah.
But Ja Morant is like, if the Grizzlies don't have Ja Morant, are like 11th or 12th.
No, you're right. I don't know if the Grizzlies overachieved this year and it was like a one-hit wonder. I guess we'll wait to find that out. But that team is tough. They lock you up on defense. I mean, other than Ja, you don't really have any stars. You have good players that just complement one another. They do the little things. You know, they pass, they shoot, they rebound. Like, I mean, it sounds very simple, but like a lot of teams don't have players that can do all those things. And they want to get up in you and just guard you and make your life hell, which is, for any former basketball player, that's probably the most miserable thing you could have, is somebody up in you all the time. They're tough.
They signed your boy to a new deal, too.
Yeah, Tyus Jones, highest paid backup point guard in the NBA.
Yeah,
2015 national champs. Go Duke.
Now that would probably officially round up the West, unless you want to talk about how John Wall is now a Clipper. Ugh.
And he played well the other night. Yippee. John Wall. We'll see what he does with them. I mean, the Clippers also, I mean, let's touch on them briefly. I mean, they are getting Paul George and Kawhi back, and Paul George just openly said, like, I'm the number two player on this team. Like, Paul, this team is around Kawhi. I make everybody better. I'm the number two option.
All Kawhi has to do is play more than 41 games.
And maybe PG won't he won't get locked up in the playoffs and choke like he normally does.
Yeah.
That's to be determined, I guess.
All right, so we could jump to the East. I'll do a little shout-out to the Nuggets. I feel like the Nuggets have been.
Shout-out to the Nuggets in the East?
No, I said before we get
before
to the
we
East,
get to, excuse
I'm
going
to shout out the Nuggets.
Excuse me.
The Nuggets, I feel like, have been like the same like level for the past like 3 years.
They can't stay healthy. Like Jokic is just, he's an MVP candidate every day of the league. He's a triple-double threat every time he steps out on the floor. The problem is, like, Michael Porter Jr. can't stay healthy, and He fell, I want to say he fell to whatever it was, 14 or 17 in the draft, but he was the second best player in his class coming out of high school. He can't stay healthy. Jamal Murray's coming off a torn ACL. Like, there's just, right now, there's too many unknowns with that team and heading into this year.
I think, it's not worth almost diving deep into them because it's basically the same team as it has been for a bit.
Yeah.
And B, they've been, they've done the same thing every year. It'd be like talking about Miami college football. Oh. You hype them up every year, then they let you down. So, or Michigan State basketball. Now we talk about college basketball fraud.
Go Duke.
And then, all right. So for the biggest questions I would have as a casual NBA fan, how big of an impact is it that the Celtics are going to be without their head coach the entire season?
I think it's a huge impact. I think you go from seeing. Now, let's not get this twisted.
Let me add, they did sign Malcolm Brogdon and Danilo Gallinari. Yep.
Gallinari, he's hurt right now.
Great Nick.
But, I mean, obviously the Celtics were good with Brad Stevens as the head coach. They were great. I mean, they went to a Western Conference Finals. I mean, like, they've been to the playoffs every year. But Ime Udoka, I mean, you could just get the vibe around that team. Not that, obviously, I am some insider, but that they just bought into what he had to say. Like, they truly took think about it. Up until probably that loss to the Knicks where R.J. Barrett hit the game winner, they were like 23-25 or something like that. Like, through 45, 50 games, whatever it was, they were terrible. And then they got hot at the right time. And, I mean, coaching obviously has a lot to do with it. And the pieces just fit with them. Like, do I think they'll have as good of a year without their head coach? No. But Malcolm Brogdon is certainly, if he can stay healthy, he's another one. If he can stay healthy, he is a great 3-and-D guy for them. Like, he's probably a little bit bigger version of Marcus Smart. That's like a kind of a comparison I would make.
Yeah, well, didn't he win the Sixth Man of the Year a couple years ago? He won some award.
He might have honestly won Rookie of the Year. Like, he's a really good player out of Virginia. Like, I hated watching him
or
play
most
college.
Improved.
I don't remember exactly.
He won some award. He's someone at Virginia. He was unreal.
Yeah, but I mean, they're very good.
I think in the NBA, he definitely has a solid role as a sixth man, seventh man, wherever.
Yeah.
He definitely slides into a team very nicely where if someone gets hurt, he could fill in.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Someone that I was talking about earlier in a game three, in a conference final or in a championship where all of a sudden he could put up 20 points out of nowhere.
He could get hot and just, whatever, start hitting threes and
like, you don't have to worry about if your player, he's like a backup quarterback.
If he's on the floor, he's not like you don't ever have to worry about what you're going to get from him. Like, he's a consistent, he's going to play good defense. He's a good 3-point shooter. His issue is just staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, he's such a valuable asset to any team. Such a valuable asset.
He's a Chase Daniel of where he's gonna always have a spot on an NBA roster.
Shout out to Miu and Sweat harassing Chase Daniel.
Or like Jamal Crawford where, you're always gonna have a spot on a team and you always are gonna be able to fill in and do a job and not have to worry when they're on the court because they have, I don't know. I don't know if it's the high IQ or.
Yeah. They're going to be a fun team to watch. I mean, Jason Tatum is a top 8 player in the NBA. I mean, he didn't have a great finals, but everybody saw him drop 50 in game 6 at Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, there's him and KD are probably the most unguardable one-on-one players in the NBA. Jaylen Brown, I mean, do we need to get into him? Everybody knows what he brings to the table. That team is going to be flat out good. They're going to be great again, but
it's just a coaching question mark. If they didn't have the question mark over their head, which just baffles me because the guy was, call it like it is. He was shagging someone.
Yeah,
on
guy was just trying to get some.
I don't understand why that bars a season suspension.
What are you going to do?
I think it's certainly distasteful that you're. Well, first of all, he's dating Nia Long, who is gorgeous, which I don't know what woman in that organization could be as good looking as Nia Long, but you're dating and you have a kid with her and you cheated on her,
with multiple women, like not just one. It ended up coming out there was multiple women.
I mean, that's not like a new thing, though. Like,
no, it's not.
Coaches always cheat on their wives, which is not a good thing. Let me.
And like a common everyday employer, like I'm sure, like every employer at some point or another has had where employees or you know.
I'm not trying to justify or whatever his decision. I am merely saying that being suspended for the year, there is something that we do not know.
Matt Barnes, quote unquote, said like. When everything that comes out with Ime Udoka like actually comes to light, he'll never have a job in the NBA again. Like apparently what he's doing like or what had happened was so bad and like it hasn't been released yet, which is crazy. But I mean, if it comes out, he may be in some more trouble than we even thought.
Well, clearly, because for what I thought, for having sex with someone that isn't your girlfriend slash wife, I don't think that deserves your professional career to...
No, I agree. I mean, I think they either should have fired him or let him play, and the season-long suspension, I think, is stupid.
That's what I mean. Like imagine...
It's one or the other. Like, his players had no... Him being suspended, like, only hurts his players who had nothing to do with the situation. Yeah. Like, the suspension is stupid.
Like, imagine someone who's, like, on, like, freaking, I don't know, like, fucking Goldman Sachs. Imagine the CEO of Goldman Sachs cheated on his wife. You think he would walk into work the next day, and they'd be like, you're not trading for the year because you had sex?
No.
So, clearly...
There's more going on.
I don't want to speculate because I think that you could get into some trouble.
Especially with stuff like that. Another bouncing off that.
I was going to say, if it isn't the Celtics and the coach doesn't pan out for them, I think that the team that obviously is a clear second that slides in just as easily as a title contender is the Bucks.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are my favorite to come out of the East
because they have
this year.
The best player in the NBA, which is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Let's jump into the Bucks real quick because obviously we know what they bring. I mean, Chris Middleton's gonna be back and healthy again this year. Who's stopping Giannis? There's not one player in the NBA right now that can stop Giannis one on one. He demands a double and triple team every time he touches the ball. They have everything. What don't they have? They have shooting. Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, like point guard, George Hill.
Depth.
Yeah, they have
Wesley Matthews, Bobby Portis, Javon Carter. They got.
Yeah.
Well, they have Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles on the Jazz.
Knockdown
was
shooter.
Awesome.
He looked like Dinkelberg from the Fairly Odd Parents.
If they could have him in for maybe like.
He was a good 3-point shooter. If he can just put up, you know, if he can average.
Like 15, 20 minutes.
Shooting 36% to 38% from three. That's a great year for Joe Ingles. That show he served his purpose on that team.
Yeah, and then another team in the East that I'm not so.
Tell me where you're going with this. Is this going to happen to be a team that's just a state over?
No. Oh. No, I'm never high on that team.
Okay.
I'm never high on
that
team.
I didn't know if we were jumping into
that. I was going to say the Heat. They were really underwhelming.
Yeah. No, the Heat are a culture team. That's what they are. The Heat, I mean, they've had the same management, the same head coach. They're all the same. They're just a huge culture team. Jimmy Butler, you know what you're getting out of him. Playoff Jimmy is a dog. How about him coming out to the first press conference with braids cuz just to fuck with the public because everybody comments on everything he does. So he came out with fake braids saying that he grew his hair out all offseason. But I mean, Tyler Hero just got paid from them. He hasn't really done as well since the bubble, another bubble reference, but I mean,
doing a lot of Instagram posts.
Yeah. A lot of Instagram
outfits. And I don't know that transitions onto the court.
Duncan Robinson didn't see the playoffs didn't see the floor in the playoffs last year.
What was up with that? Why?
I don't know if he just wasn't shooting well. Cause I mean, think about it. His only purpose out there is to knock down threes. If he's not hitting threes, he will never touch the floor in an NBA game again. He does not do anything else.
He's a Michigan Wolverine.
He was a former D3 athlete, and no disrespect on that, but I mean, like, going from D3 to Michigan to the NBA, obviously you can shoot the ball, but, like, if...
You can't shoot the ball, then. You're not Giannis where, you know, you could drive into the rim and bring the whole basket down.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, Giannis just can just dunk over anyone and anybody at any time he wants. He's just a specimen.
I love Jimmy Butler, though. I hope that they do end up panning out and doing something this year, but, you know... I think Victor Oladipo is another player that's good if he could stay healthy.
Health is his big thing after that nasty, nasty injury.
Other than that, if as we were just talking about, if Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero can't knock down shots, then they're
I don't want to say useless, but like they're not going to get minutes.
Well, I also I'm saying that their team in general is going to be like 10th.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Bam, you know Bam's good. Bam's a good, great player.
Bam's good. Jimmy Butler's good. But then it's the other people that
yeah, it's everybody else in there. You never know. But I mean, it's the Heat. I feel like they're always going to be in it. They'll always be somewhere from like a 3 to a 6 seed, in my opinion. I mean, it's rare that they fall below that. It's the culture. People first off want to live in Miami for the weather, obviously, and people want to play in Miami because it's stable. It's not like you're going to Brooklyn where mass chaos is going on at all times. Miami has a great culture, and people appreciate that.
Right. Two more teams I want to touch on in the East. One is the team from the state over, whose player they always chant for MVP puts up maybe 5 games a season. It is pretty good to have those big stats. You know, it's easy. It's good when you put up 5 games a year and you have that kind of stat line. Good for him.
Yeah.
The 76ers, I'm not going to get too big on them because
I think it's
a bunch of big stat padding people. Joel Embiid has such good stats in his career because he plays. What's his average games a season? It has to be.
Let me look that up, Joel.
I'm not even being sarcastic. Like it has to. Like I want it included in seasons he could have played but was out because of a season-ending injury. Like I don't want the minimum of like X amount of games. I want how many games in his career he's played versus how many he could have.
So Joel Embiid, now this doesn't, he's played 6 NBA seasons.
How many total games has he played?
He's played 328 regular season games. In fact, there's 82. So 82 times 6, I'm not sure what that, 490 maybe, 492.
Hold on. I don't even know where my calculator is on my phone. Keep talking. All right, so we have 82 games. And then 6 seasons, and then that was right. That was 492. And then how many did he play?
328.
Dead air. Sorry. He's played 66% of his games that he's possible. Which still, I feel like there was they definitely put him out there for a couple minutes, so he didn't look like a complete 100% fraud.
They did. I mean, when he's out there, he's fantastic.
When he's out there, he's fantastic. But, Greg Oden was good when he was out there, and he was fantastic when he was healthy.
Like they always say, your best ability is your availability. And if you can't play.
Damn right.
I mean, hey, look at that team, though. I mean, James Harden apparently lost like 60 or maybe even more pounds. Apparently, he looks fantastic. Tobias Harris, I have never been sold on. I think they should never have signed him to a max deal. But I also think they wouldn't have him if they didn't sign him. He would have gotten the max from somebody else.
I think the problem was that everyone hated Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I think you should look out for Tyrese Maxey this year. He's going to be probably the point guard, honestly, or the two guard, depending on what they do with Harden. At a second or third year out of Kentucky, he's apparently looked great. And Tyrese, who's the kid that went to Washington that plays? He's a lockdown. Matisse Thybulle, another great defender for them. I mean, their key is going to be Harden and Embiid. If Harden can play like he did, whatever, 3 years ago, where he's putting up 25, 10 and 10 or whatever it is, I mean, if they say he's looking as good as he is, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Who, Joel Embiid?
Him and Harden. Apparently, Harden just lost a ton of weight in that fat slob.
If this is a 20 game season, I'd put money on this 76ers. It's a matter of him getting
fair enough.
You know, Joel Embiid's gonna go up for a jump ball and his knee's gonna snap in half. I don't wish it on him. It's just how he's built.
It is.
Then they have PJ Tucker, who's a good gritty veteran. Daniel House.
Daniel House. Classic. I loved Eric Gordon that signing, though. For that team. I think he fits the Philadelphia like tough nose, like just hard nosed athlete, like going to do the dirty work.
Now, I believe when we were really – there's been two Gordons in the NBA that were forwards.
Are you referring to Ben Gordon, who just actually got accused of beating his son in LaGuardia Airport today or yesterday?
No. Well, there was two Gordons.
Because that did just happen.
There was a Gordon – I am thinking of Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon was on the Hornets with Chris Paul,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. I was not thinking of Ben Gordon.
Who just got arrested in LaGuardia Airport.
Just got arrested for beating his son in LaGuardia Airport.
Literally.
I was not talking about that, but I mean, you know, good move beating your son in public. That's an awesome.
So then going back, so we're talking about the Nets, right? The Nets, or let's go to the Nets. I think
That was what I was about to say.
I think the last two teams that we should
speculating on.
Sorry about that.
Ben Gordon's
abuse.
Domestic affairs with his kids.
See, we should touch on the two New York teams, just the home teams, and we're fans of.
Yeah,
one of them,
well,
so.
we'll start with the Nets because they're the one that has a real possibility of doing anything this season.
I mean, the Nets, dude, they're just like you don't know what you're gonna get. I genuinely think if Kyrie Irving plays 60 to 65 games this year, he will be a top five MVP candidate. I think he heard all the shit after last year and him not getting the vaccine and all that. And no one has ever questioned how good Kyrie is. He puts on a show.
He's one of the best ball handlers NBA history.
He's probably
the
best. Yeah, he's in my opinion, he's the most talented to ever play basketball. With everything, he's the best finisher.
On one of the most talented rosters in the NBA.
He's the best finisher, one of the best finishers for his size ever around the hoop. He shoots 40%. He's a 50-40-90 guy. 50% from the field, 40% from three, 90-plus from the foul line. His handle, nobody's ever questioned it. He's just a quack. Just a weirdo. And, like, he does everything to avoid playing. And, like, it sucks because there's nobody in the NBA who can put on a show like he can when he's out there. There's not one player in the NBA who can do it. Luka would probably be the closest thing, and I don't even think it's all that close, to be totally honest with you. He is just a quack. KD, you know what you're going to get. Guy wants to play. He wants to win. He wants to just continuity.
He does not care about anything other than basketball.
Yeah.
He does not care about endorsements. Does not care about his personal appearance. He is just a man who loves basketball.
That team,
he's just a head case.
Yeah, that team otherwise, though, I mean, Ben Simmons, obviously that's a huge talking point after the whole stunt he pulled last year, not playing, and then he was supposed to be on track to play against the Sixers, and then he got this magical back injury out of nowhere, and you know, he was never the same, and I'm sure, you know, he's all mentally not there. Like, you know, he's had his own issues, whatever. That's fine. Everybody has them. But that team, otherwise, is loaded. They have three-point shooting. They have good bigs. Like, they have everything. It's just a matter of getting and keeping everybody on the court and getting continuity with them. I mean, like, last year, they didn't play together. Simple as that.
We'll see. I don't know. And then are you sold on Steve Nash?
No, and I don't think anybody in that organization is.
No, I mean
and for good reason.
You only want to talk about not sold on it. Kevin Durant wanted him fired.
Fired, and Kevin Durant ended up working it out with him because he realized that the Nets had all the leverage. The Nets were not going to trade him after they just signed him to a 5-year deal, max deal, and not get what they want back. It wouldn't make sense for them to do that. They'll let him sit out, and they would have until they got the deal they wanted, because it's Kevin Durant. And then once Kevin Durant decided, like, you know, let's just try to work on it at least for the year. Him and Steve Nash worked it out. Big quotes I'm throwing up for those of you listening. But that's that team. I mean, their potential's there. It's if you can get everybody on the same page.
The roster's there. It's just a matter of, you know. You go all the way down to the middle of the roster. You have Markieff Morris, TJ Warren.
Yeah,
They're not, as I've been beating on this entire podcast, is that they're just people that will get you wins.
Yeah.
LeBron does not have that.
No, he doesn't.
Let's touch on the Knicks real quick. Let's start talking about the Knicks as I look up the...
Give Knicks and some finals predictions, and then...
Yeah. I want to see the Lakers roster because everyone else, you know, you have these nice, well-rounded rosters. Let's look at the salaries.
Should we get to the Knicks first, and then we'll go back to the Lakers?
Well, no, you can keep talking. Okay. I'm just pulling
Knicks,
it up real quick.
I mean, the Knicks, I there's not going to be a whole heck of a lot to expect from them. Like, Julius Randle, hopefully he's going to be revived. R.J. Barrett, I think, is going to take a big step in terms of free throw shooting and three-point shooting because that's pretty much the two things that he isn't great at. But I mean, there aren't many players. There's probably maybe 8 to 10 players maybe who played better than him from Christmas time last year on for the rest of the season. He showed why he was a top three pick those last 50 games or whatever it ended up being.
They looked like a real basketball team at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean,
and then you throw in Jalen Brunson in there, which will be a great addition to it.
He's a great addition. I mean, he's going to just be a facilitator out there. He's going to get you, you know, 17 to probably 20 points a game. five, six assists, something like that, which is perfect for that team. I love that they re-signed Mitchell Robinson. I didn't want to let him go. Good athlete, shot blocker, the whole nine. I think a real big key, and I don't mean to harp on him because he's a Dukie, but the Knicks gave up a first-round pick for Cam Reddish, and the guy sat the bench last year. Like, he was known as one, probably the most talented player in his class with Zion and RJ in terms of just pure handles and, you know, doing stuff that they can't with a handle and stuff like that. But why give up a first-round pick to have a guy sit the bench? Tom Thibodeau needs to expand the lineup this year to more than six players, or they're just, you know, it's not going to work. And I think Quentin Grimes should be starting at the two guard over Evan Fournier.
I thought that was a weird move, but then, like, you also think about, like, is it just something in practice? Maybe he doesn't practice hard?
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be.
A reason why he got given up after, one season with the Hawks? Or two seasons?
He was two or three. He hasn't been given opportunities where he's been. It's kind of weird. The Hawks, he had a lot of injury troubles, so that's kind of why. The Knicks, though, they weren't playing great. So to throw him in the lineup as a 6'8 guy who can shoot, handle, like, do it all, it didn't really make much sense. It really doesn't. And, I mean, I hope this year he gets a role because the team isn't great, so he should probably have a pretty decent role just in terms of pure ability.
And he's a good player. You know, like, from watching him in college, he's a good player. I don't understand why you
– he hasn't been given an opportunity.
He might not, but he's – you know, there's sometimes, like if you're watching, like, a sport and there's a player that doesn't get in as much and you talk about all the stuff that happens during practice and everything where they don't deserve – the coach doesn't deem them worthy of getting minutes because they're, you know, kind of toxic to the locker room. But he's only been there for a year, so what's the worst that happens if he goes and he starts playing better? Maybe he does. He's more perceptive. Once again, this is completely speculative because he might not just be playing well. He might look like, you know, remember what happened to Markelle Fultz? He just lost his shooting. Like,
that was insanity that he was just, like, literally lost his ability to, like, even have decent form.
Yeah, so, like, that's what I'm – maybe it's just a matter of something that he needs to find himself again. Maybe that's what they've been working on this entire offseason.
Tibbs also needs to expand his lineup. He barely played Obi Toppin last year, and he was the 12th pick or whatever, the ninth pick for them? Like, he needs – and I get it, building trust, and, like, you have to build it to play. But he also needs to give opportunities to build other than just in practice. Like, practice is one thing.
It's a two-way street.
Exactly. 100%. And Tibbs, he needs to expand the lineup, regardless of how many guys he adds to it or how many more minutes he wants to give out. But he needs to expand. It's way too – they're going to be done for it by game 60. They're all going to be tired.
To wrap things up here, give me, you know, gun to your head – three teams out of the West you think to have an opportunity to go and do something.
Okay.
And three teams out of the East that will go on to do something this year.
Okay. So I will start with the West, just because, you know, former NBA champs, the Warriors. They're going to be my first team. I mean, how could they not be on anybody's list after what they did and who they're bringing back and who's healthy now? I'm not sold on the Suns, like I said earlier. I'm not sold on them. I like the Grizzlies a lot. I really do. I'm going to pick them. I just don't know if they were a one-hit wonder or not. But I'm going to ride the momentum, assuming Ja Morant, you know, Ja's back and they're the same. They're right there. And then that third team, I'll probably say the Clippers, just because Kawhi, PG, and that team, like, they have a good team. And, you know, obviously getting Kawhi and PG are back, but I think the West is definitely more open. I wouldn't say opened up. I think the Warriors are probably still going to come out of the West. They're just so good. They're just loaded with young talent, too. Going over to the East, do you want to give your West teams, and then I'll go to the, then we'll go to the East, or do you want me to just finish it out?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter.
All right. Give me your three West. Let's hear your three teams out of the West.
Three West, I think Warriors, no-brainer. They're just a well-run organization. They have, you know, all the right pieces.
They have the perfect playing style for them.
Players who know their roles.
Players
who know their roles.
It's an underrated part of sports.
So you have, all right, so then I will say the Warriors is number one. So number two is a little bit tricky because I would like to go out there and confidently say someone like the Suns.
Yeah.
Could.
I think it's tricky. I think after the Warriors, I think, you know, the Grizzlies maybe,
it's
but the rest
shoot.
It's a crapshoot.
So I'm gonna say this. I think if the Denver Nuggets could all stay healthy, they could be a potential Western Conference Finals team.
Absolutely, so, they could. 100%.
I mean, it's not a crazy statement. It's just a matter of how they've played lately, that if they could some – or not how they've played, but like how it's, you know, how it's gone down for them. If they could put it together this year – They were a legitimate title contender two or three years ago.
Basketball's a game of rhythm. It's going to take Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. to get some rhythm back.
Nikola Jokic is one of the, you know,
he's a triple double threat every time he steps out.
He's one of
the
best players in the NBA without a doubt.
I'm with
Jamal
you on
Murray's one of the best shooters when he's healthy without a doubt. Michael Porter Jr. has the size and capabilities to be a great player in the NBA if he matures a little bit,
stays healthy.
And you know they. It's a great city, Denver. And people like it. It's a good sports town when they're hot. So I will say them as a second team, and then the third team. I mean, this is a tough one.
I think it's a tough one.
I'm gonna say the Grizzlies because I think the way Ja Morant's been progressing every year.
I agree.
I think they're still a few players short before I could say they're some kind of title contender.
Yeah.
And it's also really hard to try to get a free agent to go to Memphis.
It's such a small market team. They just don't have the money to be able to go out and get huge names. Like that's why that team is tough. They're gritty. And they just complement one another. Like, that's what I was saying before. It's like they really do just complement one another, and that's basketball. If you complement one another, you're going to be very good, really good.
So then I'm trying to look up something really quick just to see if I'm crazy.
I'll jump into the East.
Yeah, jump into the East while I try to figure out this.
So my team's coming out of the East. I mean, I think the Bucks are going to the finals. I'm just going to straight up say it. I think the Bucks are going to the finals. I don't think any team – I would like to say the Celtics, especially with Brogdon and Gallinari. It's just I don't – they'll be my second team, just sneak peek. Just the coaching situation, it's obviously a concerning one because of how you saw the difference last year from Brad Stevens. Not that, no knock on Brad Stevens, great coach, but you saw the difference in the team. And then the third team, it's kind of open. Like everybody, you could throw.
I don't want it open. I just want a team. I want one.
You could
team.
Throw the Heat in there. You could throw the Nets in there, and like the Nets are probably most people would probably say them. Just so much uncertainty. I'm gonna go with your favorite Sixers. I'm gonna, because Harden apparently looks great, and it's all speculation. I have not seen anything but speculation wise.
First of all, I was completely wrong with what I was looking up. I was trying to. Well, I for some reason had this idea that Jersey City was bigger than Memphis, and I was completely wrong.
Those glasses of wine, those two might have had you feeling some
type
of way.
It's just me being. I don't even know. Just stupid, but whatever. All right, so. For my East, first foremost, maybe number one team in the NBA, coaching uncertainty is what I'm, you know, iffy about. The Celtics are one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA 100%. Right now. Number two is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NBA, Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
Giannis, when you have Giannis Antetokounmpo on your team, you are a title contender, no doubt, and you throw in Chris Middleton, and you throw in all these other key role players, unselfishness. I think that team is one of the. If they were the Los Angeles Bucks, they would be like it would be on ESPN every day.
Real quick, just off that point, if the Lakers were built around LeBron, like how the Bucks are built around Giannis, the Lakers would be a top two. They would have been in my top three. But they just
Brian Windhorst would be like
the worst.
I was gonna say
that worst.
He would be. I can't say.
Yeah,
I can't. His
don't
love
even
with
bring him up.
His
he's
LeBron
was
LeBron. I'll leave it at that.
He's like in the same boat as Nick Wright. Just god awful.
so that's who I would have as the other team in the East, and then my last team I think is the Brooklyn Nets. As I said before, it's a matter of rhythm. It's the same thing with the Denver Nuggets. It's a matter of rhythm. If Kyrie could crawl outside of his mind, if Kevin Durant could get into a team where he feels like everyone is committed to being the best basketball team that they can and not be a clown show, I think he will perform exponentially better. And then you have all the other role players who I think are great. I think you're looking at a team. I mean, just those two names alone, you know, head-to-head with, like, the Lakers, they're – I feel like younger than the Lakers, and then you have a much better ball handler. than the Lakers have. And then once again, the depth. I don't think Steve Nash is the next Greg Popovich by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
So depends on how he bounces back this year. We'll see if Kevin Durant gets his way and kicks him to the curb, throws him in the East River, and not murdered East River. How everything involving the East River goes. I meant just kicking him to the curb.
I'll tell you what, NBA season's approaching 6 days away. I'm excited. It's a great time of the year. Football's going to be back. Basketball's going to be back. A couple weeks after, college basketball's going to be back.
We have college football. We have MLB playoffs. We have
hockey. For you hockey fans.
Hockey. NBA and college basketball. And whatever else you could cram in there. Premier League fans. It's a great time. And it's an NBA season I'm looking forward to. I really was disinterested in the NBA for a while. I did not like the super team kind of style of how the league
was
going.
It.
I really like now it's a lot of young players having their own teams building up around them. Versus it being like one guy and everyone,
NBA's heading in the right direction. That's why everybody loves Adam Silver. He's the most liked commissioner in all of sports, Adam Silver. And he gets it. He keeps pushing the game the right way forward.
So then we'll wrap it up there. Thank you, Nick, for coming on. Always been a bit, but thank you for coming on.
Appreciate you having me. It's been a minute.
And thank you all for listening. Have a good one.